This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الموؤوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 27 من شهر رجب 1445 الموافق ل كم how is what is the date today no 8 February 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped and before then very sorry for the delay it was stuck on the way unfortunately May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are So last time we talked about the last thing we dealt with. What was the saying of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala? Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim. Waladina min al-bawzalik. Okay. So as I said, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala talk about the believers in about two ayat, and He will talk about the non-believers in about four ayat, and then He will talk about the munafiqeen in about 13 ayat. Yeah, to show how dangerous are those entities and also to teach the believers on how to deal with them properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ And He said, these believers, the one that he described as muttaqun, these are the ones that believe in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to you. What is that? That's the Quran. They believe in the Quran and they believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the previous prophet. Sorry, I follow my desire, I got into trouble. I love watermelon so much so they gave me cold one in the morning. I wasn't supposed to eat. I got into trouble anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They believe in the Quran and they believe in the books that were sent before you. And these books, last time we said, how many books were there?
The number of the Rusul.
The number of the Rusul. What is the number of the Rusul?
500.
No. Which Sunnah you are? 315. You are 315. How can you quickly, easily forget Yusuf? You are the one who... So 315 Rasul, each one of them has a book. And we said, this is taken from the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hadid. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. So from this ayah we learned that every Rasul brought a book. Yeah, not necessarily, using a new book. But he might be sharing book with somebody, but this is his book also. Yeah, we call it the book of this one and the book of the previous one. So every Rasul has a book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we believe in all of them. Jumlatan wa tafsila. Jumlatan, meaning we believe in any book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, whether we know about it or we don't know. Tafsilan, we believe in those specific book mentioned to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those that are mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran, we believe in them. Other than that, history might say there is a book, this and that, like Yusuf's books, sheath book. So all of those ones, we keep them as Israeliyat. Israeliyat, that we don't have any text from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to support them. We'll just leave it like that. If the chain of narration is weak, we throw it away. Yeah. So as far as what to do with them, we just have to believe in them, right? That they are munazzala min Allah azza wa jal, and they are kalamullah. They are also word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the Quran. You get it? All of those books are the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like that, the Quran. And last time, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this matter, which some people might say is not significant, but it is significant. Because if this Quran is the word of somebody, then the liberalists, they have a door, which is widely open for them to keep saying what they're saying. Contradictions, and this and that. And the Quran doesn't contradict itself. There is no way for you to find contradiction in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the most straightforward book and comprehensive. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If Quran is to be sent by somebody, you will find a lot of, contradictions, discrepancies, in the Quran. The Quran is very accurate, 100% accurate, and also straightforward. So we believe in those books, but we don't apply them. We just stick to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. We don't look into them. And actually, checking the Torah and the Injil, even if you can find the correct one, even if you can get the correct one, is wrong for a normal and a layman, is wrong. Right? Because you might get things that might distract you. You get the idea? So we don't do. This is only for those people who are giving da'wah to the non-Muslims, to the Christian. They hope that inshallah they will accept Islam, then they can go and read the Torah and Injil if they are rooted in the Iman and Aqidah. Sorry. If they are rooted in the Aqidah, this is the condition. Yeah, you cannot go and check those books unless if your Aqidah is well established. Yeah. And this is the maxim to be applicable on any person who is intending to go to the land of the non-Muslims to stay there. First, there has to be a need, which he cannot fulfill that need in the Muslim territories. And secondly, he has to be very strong in the Aqidah, which bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, he knows that if he goes to that place to take that which he needs, he will not get distracted. which, subhanAllah, the vast majority of those who are going to that place don't qualify even the first one. They are just looking for the dunya and what they call easy life at the expense of their iman and the iman of their families. Yeah, many, many, many of the people that we know, they went to those places and they changed, you know. Some of them even they went out of the religion. So what are you looking for? What kind of dunya you want, you know, that you will be willing to compromise your deen, you know, for the sake of the dunya? Iwallah, he's going to regret, you know, he's going to regret. Anything that you make as a choice which is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will regret at the end. Walabut, you know. So we believe in those books, all of them, and we apply the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them. And that's the zakah, right? Al-infaq al-wajib, zakah and the nafaqat al-wajiba. Any nafaqah that is obligatory upon them, they do that. And the good ones also, they go beyond the nafaqat al-wajiba, they give extra. You get the idea? This is our religion. Our economic system is based on cooperation and help and support. Yeah, that's why we don't go with any other ism. Communist and socialism and what is the other one? Capitalism, you know. All of those things, keep them aside. None of them was able to succeed. There is no way for them to succeed. Well, they are sourcing their strength from man-made, you know, laws. They cannot succeed at all. You know, they cannot succeed. So they end up harming the community, walabut, you know, rather than benefiting. So the only system that can remain and sustain is the Islamic system that is built upon cooperation and support and bridging the gap between the poor and the rich. Not to make everyone rich and not to take the wealth of others and give it to others, no. But to ask them to take that part which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them, a little amount of it, and share with the needy. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take from you if you have 40 million? 2.5. What is 2.5? 1 million. Yani 40 million, 1 million is nothing. You know? You get the idea? 40 million, 1 million is nothing. And also, Allah promised to multiply it and replace it with the best. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to replace it with the best. You know, because we never give charity and lose. Charity never decreases the wealth. It always makes it more and more. In this dunya you get more, and in the akhirah you get better than what you are giving a person. And the Prophet said, Allah promised you, if you give somebody relief in this dunya, Allah will give you relief in the hereafter. And you know what does that mean? Because one, you know, moment of hardship in the akhirah is capable of deleting any enjoyment you had in the dunya. Iwallah. There is no comparison between 1 second in the akhirah and the whole life here, the difficulties in the whole life here. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the worst amongst the Muslims, you know, who is the poorest person. He lived a very tough life. But then he managed to do the right thing, so he goes to paradise. Allah will ask him, the first moment he just get into paradise, Allah will ask him, did you ever experience difficulty in your life? He will say, La wallahi ya Rab. You know, even he says, Wallah. He says, Ya Allah, I never experienced difficulty in my life. What happened to the life in the dunya? It was deleted by just one moment in Jannah. One moment in Jannah is capable of deleting everything. And the same goes to the person who enjoy prosperity in this dunya, you know, but he's a kafir. One moment in hell is capable of deleting everything. Allah will ask him, did you ever experience ni'mah in the dunya? He will say, no, Ya Allah. He will swear by Allah, La wallahi ya Rab. Subhanallah. So, remember this always when you give charity. Don't be stingy. Get from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed you, little. Allah just wants little. To share this little with that person who is not fortunate as you are. And don't forget, this money belongs to Rabbul Alameen. You are just a caretaker. Although the caretaker and the only caretaker, that's how it is. You cannot just say, we are caretaker, then I go to Omar's bank and take his money, you know. I know. And the one who owns this money is the only caretaker of that money. He's obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put it in the right place. So one of these places is to give the charity. مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ شَيْئًا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. So he says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And they take from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them. And you see, he said, مِمَّا Not all of it, from some of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And this is manhaj al-wasatiyya fil infaq. Yeah, when it comes to spending, moderation is required in Islam. Moderation is required. It's wrong for you to take everything and give others. It's wrong. Yeah, we have some people who will take everything and give others, and even their family will be suffering. The first person to benefit from your wealth is your family. You know, understand this. The food you buy, you put in the mouth of your wife, is what? Charity. And not only charity, sadaqah wa silatul rahim. It's charity and also silatul rahim. Yeah, this is what most of us fail to understand. Because I think if I go and give it to a stranger, it is more rewardable than giving it to my family members. No. They deserve my kindness more than anybody else. Clear, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ As I said, in spending, you should be moderate. In whatever you are doing, you should be moderate. You know, moderately, no israf, no tabdhir. You get it? No israf, no tabdhir. Israf? Israf is going beyond the limit. Yeah, going beyond the limit, beyond the need. Yeah. Not beyond the necessity, beyond the need. You know, I want a laptop. Okay, let me give I hope we will not be affected by this application. I want a laptop. Okay, and I study in IRK. Okay? What do I need of a system?
Very basic laptop.
Yeah, when I went, I bought 24G, I don't know whether it does exist or not. 24 GB of RAM and so many things which those people who are dealing with graphics, you know, will need it, you know. Maybe until my death, I will never use those things. But the price is multiplied. What am I doing? Israf. Iwallah. Most of the people who are buying those very, very, very expensive cars they don't need, that's israf. Israf. Because this wealth, you're going to be questioned by Allah and you have to answer the question to Allah. Why do you need this? However, we're not saying you shouldn't buy expensive things. No, you should. Buying the thing that has quality. The point is you have objective in buying. Yes, I'm spending this amount of money. I can spend 4,000. But now I'm willing to pay 10,000. 10,000 ringgit. Why? Because it has quality in it. I don't want to keep on going and chasing the technology. Yeah, you have some people, you know, every time, whenever something new comes, they go and buy. Whenever something new comes, they sell that one and buy the other one. Subhanallah. You don't want to follow this life, because this is a life of prodigals. You know, Safi? Yeah. وَصَفَهُ التَّبْذِيرُ الْأَمْوَالِ فِي لَذَّةٍ وَشَهْوَةٍ هَلَأَلِي That's what the scholar said. Asafa, somebody is a fool, you know, foolish and prodigal. Is to waste your money. Whatever you see, you know, you buy. Whatever you see, you buy. That's what Umar radiallahu anhu used to translate what he called israf. He said, أَنْتَشْتَرِيَ كُلَّ مَا تَاقَدْ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُكَ To buy anything that your soul desire. That's waste of money. And that's somebody who doesn't have values, you know, an objective in life. You get an idea. But you buy something that has quality, you know, that can remain with you for ages. I love this kind of life. Rather than buying something which is cheap, and then tomorrow you have to go and buy another one. There's no wisdom in it. If you can afford paying the thing that has quality, you know, you're paying for something, you know. We are addressing paying for things which you don't need, you know. But you're paying for something that you need. It stays with you for 10 years, 20 years. That's good. Rather than every 2-3 years, you have to go and get a new one. And then if you combine all that you're spending slowly, it is bigger than that one that you're doing.
absurd.
So israf is rejected. You get it? And the other one is tabdhir. What is tabdhir?
Stinginess.
No.
Spending too much.
That's israf.
Spending and not using.
Collecting. That's Yusuf's definition. No.
Collecting.
That's bukhul. Okay, I know you will never get it, so... Israf and tabdhir, they are synonymous. However, when you have them both mentioned, then israf is referring to spending and halal things, but going beyond the limit. Mm-hmm. And tabdhir is spending on the haram things. That's tabdhir al-amwal. And whether you go excess or you don't go to beyond, it's actually beyond the limit, because it doesn't have any limiting. You get it? إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And if somebody buys wine and drinks, somebody spend his money to support a nightclub, somebody spend his money on gambling, what are they doing? تَبْذِير. يُبَذِّرُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. So, in Islam, you're free to eat what you want, to buy what you want, but no israf, no tabdhir, and you restrict yourself to halal. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kul ma shi't, walbas ma shi't, wala tusrif." He said, eat what you want, and wear what you want. Wala tusrif, don't do israf. That's it. Nobody should come and tell you, oh, why do you wear this? This is not his business. You get it? You buy what you want, you know? Just make sure that no israf, no tabdhir, and you focus on the halal things. And you're moderate in whatever you're doing, you know? Because sometimes you might be tested, you know? Allah might test you when you go for israf, to live in a time of difficulty. So be moderate in whatever you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those are thalatha. The three companions that did not go with the Prophet ﷺ during the battle of, which battle was that?
Tabuk.
Tabuk. Ka'ab, Marara, and Hilal ibn Umayyah. These are three of them. Ka'ab was the youngest one. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave their sins. They were so happy. They should. Rasulullah ﷺ said, take the good news about the best day that ever passed through you know, since you born. And you Allah, the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your tawbah, this is the best day for you. You know. So one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, dunya was the thing that distracted me from following you. My dunya is all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, no. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Take from their wealth some. مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, he says, from, I mean, some part of their wealth, you know. So when you give charity, don't take everything and give. You know, keep for yourself and keep for your family. The balance, take from the balance and give whoever is in need of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَهُمْ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Yeah, I went back, right? And nobody reminded me. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةُ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they believe also in the Akhirah. They have yaqeen in the Akhirah. This is one of the most prestigious article of faith. You know, all of them are excellent and perfect. But this one is really related to you being productive in this life and you regulating your life to be according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Al-Iman bil-Akhirah. Yeah, why all of these criminals are committing crimes? Because they don't have Iman in the Akhirah. Many of them don't even believe that they will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet. As a Muslim, when you know that, yes, there is a day in which you will be held accountable of whatever you're doing, you're going to fix it. Yeah, because you know that people have been dying and you're going to follow the same path. Imam Shafi'i says, Tamanna rijalun. أن أموت فإن أموت فتلك سبيل لست فيها بأوحدي. You know, he said, there are some people who want me to die. And this truly there are. Even one of the scholars, I can't remember his name. They said he used to make dua in the sujood. Allah to take the life of Imam Shafi. Not because he hates him, but he doesn't want the madhab of Imam Malik to be affected in Egypt. To that extent, you know, he used to make dua that Allah to take off his life. But subhanAllah, they mentioned that he died before Imam Shafi. Yeah, and that doesn't deprive Imam Shafi from doing what he believes to be correct. Yeah, because Imam Malik supports him in that. They want him to stick to the madhab. And Imam Shafi says, no, I see things which I know that they're against the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I know Imam Malik did not intend to do that, but he doesn't see the hadith. Imam Malik himself told the Khalifa, I did not get everything. I just got the hadith that I found in Medina. Khalifa says, I want your book to be the only reference. He says, no, you can't, because I only compiled the hadith I got in Medina. He said, let people get knowledge from wherever they can get it, you know. My book is not everything. You know, subhanAllah, after him, Imam Ahmad came and have this encyclopedia of a hadith, you know. The one I have is 52 volumes. All a hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he did not compile everything. You get the idea? And then you come and tell us to stick to one thing. So that's what Imam Shafi was fighting. He said, no. If I see something that is wrong, I have to tell the truth. I'm not going against Malik. I'm just saying the truth, you know. But they don't understand. This is the problem of Ta'assub. Yeah, because Ta'assub, if Yusuf is my sheikh, you know, I follow Madhab al-Yusufi. I don't listen to anyone except him. This is what is going on. You know? You don't listen to anyone except him. And unfortunately, even from our brothers, Iwallah, even from our brothers who claim to be following the correct manhaj, they don't want to listen to any opinion that goes against the one that they trust. What is this? Yeah, even if you have doubt, at least take it. Go and check and see whether it is correct or wrong, you know. Like my friend in Medina, I told him, Ittaqillah, he says, I don't want. Yeah. He said, I want to take it from so-and-so-and-so sheikh, one of our great sheikh. Rubama, I'm more connected to that sheikh that he's talking about than him. But how is it possible for somebody to tell you, Ittaqillah, you said, I don't want. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So following the madhab is not wrong in itself. As long as the madhab is correct, why not? What's wrong with that, you know? Shafi'iyah said something correct. What's wrong with that? When you follow them, you follow what? Correct. Hanafiyah said something that is correct. When you follow that, what are you doing? You're following the correct thing, regardless of the name. Actually, in fact, in the time of Imam Shafi'i, which madhab was there?
Malik.
None. No, there was no Maliki. All of these madhab came after the demise of those ones. They didn't know about them. We're the one who are fighting each other for something which the people who were attributed to the madhahib, they don't even know about that. But the problem is to say that I cannot succeed unless if I follow the madhab of Imam Malik. This statement itself is innovation. You get the idea? Otherwise, Imam Malik also will be in hell now. Yeah, because he doesn't follow any... Which madhab was he following? He doesn't even know anything about madhab of Imam Malik. And how many times the Maliki themselves goes against Imam Malik? Shafi'iyah, how many times they go against? That's why you have Madhab Shafi'i and Shafi'iyah. Sometimes Imam Shafi'i said something, but the scholars, you know, in the Madhab, they don't go with this. Do you get the idea? Then, what do you call Imam Shafi'i? Batil? Nobody says this. You get the idea? So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful and understand how to deal with these matters. You know, it is separating between us. There are some people who don't pray behind Maliki or Shafi'i, you know. They check first which madhab he has. You know. Well, that's why sometimes I wonder, I said, these people, what exactly are they talking about? When you tell them Qala Rasulullah, they call you so many names. I don't want to mention the titles, but you know the titles I'm referring to. They call you so many titles. And they tell you are intolerant. And subhanAllah, you pray behind them. And you don't feel any problem with that. But they have doubt to pray behind you. That's who is intolerant then? Do you get the idea? You see them, you shake their hands, you say salam to them, but they have issues to even see you. So who is tolerating somebody then? So we have to understand the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow it. This is the only requirement that Allah SWT require from all of us. قَالَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. So this iman in the akhirah is really necessary. Iwallah, really necessary. It's part of us. There is no way for life to be correct in the dunya if iman in the akhirah is not being manifested in this life. أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. Everyone is going to be doing whatever he's doing, and you will not enjoy life. You yourself also will be harmed, because you will be doing incorrect things and go and get into trouble in the future. And nowadays, who is not being oppressed? I don't know, you know. Almost everyone is oppressed. It depends on how you see oppression, you know. You might say, oh, the leaders, they are not oppressed. No, they are also oppressed. How many times we talk against them on things which they don't do? We generalize. What do you call that? Oppression. Yeah, oppression. And we judge them based on something that they don't know. And none of us reminded them about it. But we talk. That's oppression. We curse them, you know, and they don't deserve to be cursed. We're supposed to make dua for them, for Allah SWT to guide them so that they can do the right thing. And this is a very important thing we should understand, you know. Yeah, I know sometimes you find some leaders that are not doing the right thing. Do you get the idea? But then, which one is better, to make dua for him or to make dua against him? For him. Because imagine now he is bad, right? If you ask Allah to curse him and Allah curse him, take him away from his mercy, he's going to be worse. So you are inviting worse scenario to the community actually. He used to kill one person, now he's going to kill everyone. You get the idea? Even the balance of the good that happens in the community, you might say, yeah, everything should stop. You can understand the wisdom behind the hadith of the Prophet Allah. So when he says, ad-dinu al-nasiha. Allah. You need to be patient and understand things correctly. I know sometimes when you talk about these things like this, people call you a lot of titles also. Yeah, ulama al-hayd wal-nifas, and all of these things, we have heard them, you know. So Allah yahdi aqulahum. So we believe in whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and we believe in patience, and we believe in doing things in the right way. Wabil akhiratu hum yuqinun. So akhirah is the day in which everyone will be brought back to Allah SWT for accountability. And to summarize everything, Allah SWT says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whatever you do, whether it is big or small, no matter how much tiny it is, good or bad, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. What does that mean? It is up to you to make a right decision. What to do? Allah doesn't come and force you to do what He wants. But it tells you that coming back to me is confirmed. It's certainty, it's yaqeen. You have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll be judged about what you did in this life. So it's up to you to choose whatever you want to do. And Allah is going to meet you and talk to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma minna," there is nobody among us except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring him back to him and ask him. And subhanAllah, that mawqif, it's really tough, because you'll be in front of Allah and nobody is in front of you except Allah. You are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, and Allah is questioning you. And on your right side, your deed. Left side, your deed. In front of you, there, you see nothing except hell. Subhanallah. So that means no going back. Your deed, the righteous one, are going to save you, bi-iznil wahid al-ahad. Get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to Jannah. So my advice to all of us is to really, really observe the meaning of this ayah throughout your life, every single moment of your life. Have muraqabah in your life. You know what muraqabah means? To be conscious of Allah every single second. Whatever you're doing, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Is it good? Is it bad? If it is bad, stay away from it, because your feet cannot stand staying in hell. Iwallah, your feet cannot stand staying in hell. The one who is receiving the lesser punishment in hell was Abu Talib, right? Ammun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person that Allah asked him to put his feet on two pieces of hell. Yaghli minhu dimaghu. His brain is boiling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do you think about those who are inside and they're going to live in that place forever and ever? لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. So let's work for the Akhirah, right? How long we have in this dunya? Allahu alam, 60, 70, right? In the Akhirah, how long you have? Endless. Yeah. So make a ratio and proper calculation and understand which one deserves more of your attention. You're not supposed to neglect the dunya. Don't neglect the dunya. But make the right, you know, calculation. You know. Who deserves more? Akhirah. There is a wisdom attributed to Luqman al-Hakim. He says, اعمل لدنياك بقدر بقائك فيها. Serve your dunya according to how long you're going to spend in it. And serve your akhirah according to the time you will be spending in the akhirah. Nowadays, it's the other way around. Yeah, these are the best ones. That's why they said, be careful. Otherwise, maybe you should check this. Be careful, otherwise you end up only having five years in your life. Okay, I think it's okay. Yeah. Only having 5 years in your life. You get idea? Yeah. Only having 5 years in your life. How? Because they said from the time you're born until 15, 16 years, these are the time of negligence usually. Yeah, that one is gone. If you die at the age of 60, you might have only 5 years in your life. I know you will not be happy to have only 5 years of good things, you know. And after 15 years, you know, you look at the time you're sleeping, you know, 8 hours. According to their calculation, you end up sleeping for 20 years. I mean, how do you read this in the Day of Judgment that you slept for 20 years in your life? Yeah, and the balance of the age you divided between your food and, you know, and the prayer takes from you how much? 30 minutes, this is the best one among us. 10 minutes for each prayer. So less than 1 hour, you know, on the daily basis. So subhanAllah, according to that calculation they're making, you might end up just having a few years, just little years, when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So think about this a lot, you know, be moderate in whatever you're doing. Utilize the dunya, but don't forget the akhirah. You have a long journey ahead of you. Yeah. The smart person among us is the one who turns the dunya into akhirah, into an act of worship. The smart person among us is the one who turns the dunya into an act of worship. You eat, you have good intention. You drink, you have good intention. You have relationship with the family, you have good intention. You come to whatever you do business, you have good intention, you know, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then your dunya will be turned into an act of akhirah. This is the smartest person among us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to live a life in this way. I remember one of our scholars, a very great scholar. He said, when they asked him, what is the best thing you love to remember? He said, since I became akhir, I know what exactly this life is all about. He said, up to date, I never remember a single deed that I did which is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, whenever I remember this, he says, since the time I know what life is all about, you know, I've become matured, he said he cannot remember a single thing that he did which is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how the life of a Muslim should be. Wallahu alam, maybe that's why he get that huge respect even from his enemies. Allah, that person, even his enemies respect him. Even his enemies respect him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a lot of basira, although he was blind, but as the poet says, kafifun wa absara jisran najat. He was blind, but he managed to see the bridge of success. Wa kam min basirin adha' al jisur. At a time where the vast majority of those who see, they lost the bridge of success. They couldn't see it. He was blind, but he managed to see it. But the people who see, you know, most of us, we miss that bridge. So Allah salama wa al-afiyah. So Allah says, وَبِالْ آخِرَةُ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the ones who are upon the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are looking for somebody who is described as the most successful one, look at this person. Yeah, these are the most successful people in this religion of ours. Nobody succeed like them. So if you want to be categorized and considered as a good and excellent Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the qualities that are required from you. Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Iman. Bi kulli ma umirta an tu'mina bih. To believe in anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to believe in. We have how many articles of faith? Seven. True or false? Six? No. How come I'm always wrong in my... So six, right? Number one is shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa iqamati wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah, right? Oh, not pillars of Iman. Okay, that's the third mistake, I guess, right? I just want to make sure you are awake, you know? Because usually when I do this, people say, yeah. And then later, they will remember that, no, they were wrong. So embarrassing. So the pillars of Iman is to believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, and?
Kutubihi
wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadir khayrihi wa sharrihi. No imama?
No.
Oh no, Alhamdulillah. Because we have those losers who say they have imama. If you don't believe in that, you're not Muslim also. It's Allah and Yahdiyam. So these ones, you believe in all of them. Each one of them has long details explained to us by the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you ask to believe in, you believe in that. And you establish the prayer, as it is mentioned, you give the charity, and you support the needy, and also you believe in the Akhirah, and you believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to believe in. These are the previous books, the angels, you know, Jannah, hell, and whatever Allah asks you to believe in. If you have all of these, you are the successful person. And we're looking for the falah in this dunya, and the falah in the Akhirah. What is falah in the dunya?
To die a Muslim?
Okay, that's correct. Why do you stop me? But still, I'm not arguing about this. This is the ultimate falah in the dunya, to die as a Muslim. But before death, what is falah in this dunya?
To live as a Muslim.
As a Muslim, yeah, okay. That's correct. But what does living as a Muslim mean? Following the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does this give you in this dunya?
Happiness.
That's the falah. Happiness, I'm looking for the true happiness. Not the pretended happiness, the true one. The one that is coming from the heart. Because this one cannot happen unless if the heart is connected to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, there is no way for a person to be happy, his heart to be tranquil, unless if he is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah says, only with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart finds tranquility. So أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, right? So whatever can earn you falah is explained to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? الإيمان والعمل الصالح. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah says, the condition for you to get the al-hayatu al-tayyib is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to put your faith into practice and action and maintain this istiqama until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So this is the beginning. So we talk about the believers, right? Done. Because their issue is very clear. Yeah? We don't have any fear, you know, against or towards them. And the kuffar also, the pure kafir, clear kafir, this one also, his affair is very clear because I know he is my enemy. I know he's not with me. So I don't share with him my secrets. You get the idea? So I deal with him, you know, very straightforward because I know who he is. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَفَرُوا يعني أي غطوا الحق والكفر هو تغطية الحق. الكفر هو تغطية, you know, to cover something. That's kufr. You get the idea? That's why sometimes الزراء, they are called kuffar, the farmers, because they are covering the seed under the ground. But don't go and tell a مزارع كافر, telling him that you're following the literal meaning of the word kufr. Yeah, so Urf also has something to say here. Yeah, the custom. According to the custom, when we say kafir, it goes back to a kafir in iman, right? So Allah says the non-believers, those people who covers the truth and they don't want to accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتُهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whether you remind them or you don't remind them, they will never believe. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those people that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirmed upon them, they became kuffar. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. Even if you're bringing any sign, they will never accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْنَا تِتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. If you're going to bring them anything, they will never believe in you. Question. Then all of those kuffar that came to Islam, do you get the idea? Does that mean we shouldn't trust them, that they are not Muslim still? But wait. Look at the ayah. The ayah says, لَإِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. أَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whether you remind them, you don't remind them, they will never believe.
Shaykh, is عَمْ يُرَادُ بِهِ
الْخَاصِ. خُصُوص. Why do you go? You know when there is a general and you want to divert the generality to something else, you have to provide evidence.
Because the ayah could be talking about the...
Could be.
The Jews in Medina or the Kufar in the Quraysh?
Even the Jews in Medina believe also. Kufar, Quraysh also, Abu Sufyan accepted Islam, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid. You specialize in bringing wrong answers, you know. Yeah. But I like the way he put things, you know. But you just need to complete your reward all the time. You will start the journey and then you destroy everything at the end of the day. Yeah, you were right. You're right. Because if this is supposed to be understood, then what is the point of giving dawah then to the non-Muslim? But Allah doesn't mean this. That's why the scholars said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to those who chose to be kuffar. And it is part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this one will never accept Islam. Like Abu Talib. He chose to accept kufr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he will never accept Islam. So this one, that's why he said, الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ. Because the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be wrong. They chose kufr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that these people will never accept Islam. So these ones, whether you invite them or you don't invite them, they will never accept Islam. You get the idea? But am I going to use this and then become lazy and don't give da'wah? No. That's very dangerous, actually. That's why some people are using the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا هَتَدَيْتُمْ. The ayah says, mind your business. And then you see him not giving the da'wah. Why didn't you give da'wah to them? Allah says, I should mind my business. You get the idea? من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني. And they use this hadith also. It is an excellent attitude and behavior to stay away from those matters that are not part of your concern. But subhanAllah, fiqh is good. And studying under the scholars is necessary. That's why the scholars said no. Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said تركه ما لا يعني. طيب. If this guy is wrongdoer and he's committing kufr and he's doing the wrong thing, if the punishment from Allah comes, it's going to punish who? It's going to afflict
everyone,
including you also. What does that mean? What he is doing, ya'nik, is matter of your concern, because you're living on earth. You're living on the earth. If the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it will include everyone. So it's wrong for you to say that, no, this is not my affair, this is not my business. No, it is your business. Because when the problem happens, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. That's why the Jew in Sabt, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرِيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ. very simple story Allah wants to give us about the danger of you being in the middle of the people who are in need of da'wah and you don't give them the da'wah. Because when Allah told them not to catch fish on Saturday, did they get the fish? Yes. But they think they can play game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the way we are doing nowadays also, unfortunately. So they went, the catching fish on Saturday is haram. So they will go and put the net on Friday. The fish will get trapped on Saturday. And they will come and pick it up on Sunday. Very dumb. They think they are playing game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, when did they catch the fish? Saturday. Because the fish get trapped on Saturday. I buy a thing from Yusuf today and I pay the money. The thing becomes mine. When? Today. But I come after 10 years and I pick it up. If he's still alive. You get the idea. But the thing is mine, but the time when I possess it, it doesn't matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ إِنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. When they forgot that which they were reminded by the good ones. Because you have three people in that place. Those who are reminding, and those who are demotivating the reminders, those people who are reminding, you know. And the last category, the criminals. You get the idea? Those who are reminding and those who are demotivating the world, the good ones, not to remind others, and the criminals. Allah says, when they forgot those reminders, and jana ladina hauna anasu, we saved those who are reminding others to do the right thing. He said, we save who? The one who is saying, don't do this because it's against Allah. Wa akhadna ladina zalamu bi'adabin ba'isin. As for the oppressors, we got them with a very heavy punishment because of their evil behavior. The first thing that comes to our mind is the one who is catching the fish on Saturday. I don't want to say Sunday. Get the fish on Saturday. These are the first one to be included in the punishment. However, the scholars ask, how about those in the middle who are not reminded? They don't catch the fish and they don't remind. They just watch. How about them? The scholars said, most likely they are also included because Allah says we only save the one who is saying to others, don't catch the fish. And he kept silent concerning those people who are in the middle. So they said most likely they are also included in the punishment. You get the idea? So it's very dangerous. Just like the people who are on the ship, right? If some people said, okay, let us just drill, make some holes underneath, you know, so that we can get the water from it. If we're going to watch them, what happens? Who will be dead? All of us. So it is necessary for you to give da'wah in a place where da'wah is needed. You get the idea? Da'wah doesn't mean that you should go to the street and tell them, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ. No. Everyone should give da'wah according to his capability. I give da'wah to my family. He gives da'wah to his family. Are we doing the right thing? Yes. Because if my family are okay, his family is okay, their family are okay, and all the families are okay, then the whole community is going to be okay. We're not supposed all of us to gather ourselves and just go straight forward to one part of the da'wah. No, that's wrong thinking, actually. We should divide ourselves. Some people are in the streets, some people are giving lectures, some people are in the masajid, some people are in the corruption, you know, Facebook and the other books, you know. We need people to go there, you know, because this is the place where you find the younger ones. And this is the places where the enemies are using, you know. Iwallah. This is the place where the enemies are using to attack our younger people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sawa'un alayhim andartum. So which kuffar Allah is referring to here? Those people that chose to be kuffar, and it is part of the decree of Allah that they will not change their decision. These ones, Allah says, whether you do it or you don't do it, they will not accept to change. La yu'minu, they will never believe. So what is my job? To keep giving the da'wah. Because I cannot have access to this decree of Allah. I cannot say, John, that is in front of me, will not accept iman. How do I know? So what is my job? Just keep giving the da'wah until the last breath. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish that he accept, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't, I have done my part. Because your job is to give the da'wah correctly, with wisdom, upon knowledge, and hope. Sorry, and hope that this person accepts the da'wah. If he doesn't accept it, then that's not your fault at all. Allah will not blame you for this. That's why they say al-intisaru li dinillah. I kept on mentioning this because it's really important. What is supporting? What does supporting the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means? To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever He asks you to believe in, to put it into practice and action, to invite others to do this, and to be patient while inviting them. If you do these four things, you succeed. Even if there is nobody amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who trusts and accepts you. Nuh alayhi salam, how many people accepted him? Some scholars said 80. Some scholars said no, actually only his children. Yeah, there's an opinion that says only his children. We're talking about four, you know, people only. How long? He stayed with us? 950 years giving da'wah. Only four? Only 80? What is this, you know? Did he succeed? Yes. And there was a prophet, actually, at least Nuh has four. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw one of them with nobody. No one trusted him. He finished his life with them and went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nobody. Was he blamed? No. Did he succeed? Yes. Because he did what Allah asked him to do. He was holding upon that truth and give the da'wah, you know, with courage and energy, you know, and also use wisdom to convey the da'wah. And he maintained the istiqamah upon this kind of patient until the time he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our job, you know, give da'wah. We are the best nation, you know, ukhrijat linnas. But we can only be the best if we're giving the da'wah. Otherwise, others are better than us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. And be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. No problem. No, just ask.
Is Master Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Sheikh Al-Albani has deemed this hadith fabricated. So, according to the website, so the hadith. إذا أصبح وإذا أمسى حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت رب العرش العظيم. The hadith. So the question is that has there been an instance where he retracted his opinion and gave a different final verdict regarding the virtue mentioned this for the hadith?
Which one?
For this hadith, for the dhikr.
Ah, that's dhikr.
Yes.
Well, I can't remember. My reading to the book about his tarajuat was quite long, Sheikh Shafa. But there is a book called Akhiru Ahkam Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani. It's very good to get that book. Akhiru Ahkam Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani. It's a very simple book. Yeah, inshallah, you can read it in one day, bi-idhnillah. Yeah. That book can give you the summary of which hadith he says weak and then now he says authentic, or he says authentic and then now weak, and the first part of it is authentic and the last part is okay, but now the first part is weak and the last one is, because he's a human being. Yeah, he has a lot. And that is also the lengthy one, Tarajuat Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani. This one is around 2 volumes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's why some say he has some kind of tasahul sometimes in authenticating the narration. But generally, it's okay, inshallah. So look for that book, read the lines.
Is that are there scholars who deemed the virtue of this dhikr as authentic?
I can't remember, Sir Shafa. But even if they do, as long as the chain is not authentic, their statement is wrong. You know.
When some scholars say a weak hadith can be used for its virtues, how should we best understand and apply it in cases of the virtues of a dhikr?
No, any weak narration is supposed to be avoided. Yeah, we are not supposed to use a weak narration because there is no need for it actually at all. How many authentic hadiths we have been applying in our life? Did we apply all of them? No. Then when do I have time to go to the weak ones? I should focus on the authentic ones first, finish them all, which is impossible, and then you go to the weak one. And also, we are saying that there is a strong doubt whether the Prophet ﷺ said it or not. Why do I put myself in a doubt? Get it? And also, lastly, whatever a weak narration gives you, you find a better, you know, indication and offer from the authentic narration. Anything you get from the weak narration, you will get a better offer with the authentic one. Mm. Allah grant is good.
Sheikh, question by Sister Moni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, ahsan Allahu alaykum fi dunya wa al-akhirah. If we look at the word subata, meaning for rest, so does it mean best for us to rest as well on day of the Sabt? Or is it irrelevant for our time now?
No. I said, you mean Sabt?
Sabt.
No, is it not relevant? This is their own loss, actually. Allah SWT gave them a choice. They chose Sabt, Wal Ahad, for the Christian. And we, the Muslims, Allah guided us to Friday. You know, and a Muslim is productive. Friday is not a time of resting. It's Eid, celebration. Celebration doesn't mean resting. Yeah, on the day of Eid, are you rested? You are exhausted, actually. You go for... Yeah, because you guys don't do Eid, you know. Yeah, seriously, you don't do Eid. What do you do on Eid?
Meet your friends, eat.
Just that, and then sleep. Yeah, you go in the morning, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come back, the sheep you slaughter, you know. You do the... remove the skin by yourself, you know. All of these things are a heavy job, you know. I take it as part of Eid in the house. Bring kids also to see you fighting with the sheep to put it down, you know. So all of these things, these are Eid. And you visit families, yeah. So it's not a resting, sit down and sleep, yeah. That's why this modern kind of life is really taking away our sha'air. Yeah, and back there when there's Eid, you don't need somebody to tell you that today's Eid. Just come to the street, you know that, yeah, today's Eid. Everyone is busy. Yeah, everyone is busy. That's Eid. So we don't have a day that is called resting day. You know? Yeah, although in the Muslim countries, you have some of the Muslim countries where the Eid, the weekends is Friday and Thursday, right? Friday and Thursday. But what does that mean? Just having break from the offices to go and become busy with the other matters. You know, I have been neglecting some of my responsibilities with the family because of the work in the office. So now I have 2 days. Yeah, that's why it's a weekend sometimes for the serious people. It's not week. It's not a resting time. Yeah, it's the hardest moment. Actually, they are happy when the weekdays comes. Yeah, so this is Islam, no, inshallah. Next, is it?
Assalamu alaikum. The saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, "Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." This part, until you pay what you love. So what's the meaning of that?
Which the ayah is
mimma tuhibbun.
Yeah, I know.
Because we mentioned in class that you don't give everything.
Ethics, definitely.
Yes.
Ma tuhibbun lan tanalu birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun ma tunfiqu min khairin fa inna Allah bihi alim. You know, ma tuhibbun means something that if you are to be given that thing, you will be happy with it. It's not referring to the quantity. It's referring to the quality. I check from my things, you know, I take the worst one that I'm about to throw it away. Then I give it to the charity. You get the idea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُبْمِذُ فِيهِ. You know, don't just go and take the worst in your properties, you know. The one that if somebody is to give it to you, you will never accept. You don't want. You just say, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Yeah, so when you give the good one. not necessarily the best. Yeah, not necessarily the best. But it gives something that is good, in good condition. Then it passes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, he did not give everything. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the best land I have is my land in Khaybar. One of the companions says, Bayruha. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Bayruha, this is my best and it's a very, very good and strategic place. This is a land, you know, the farm actually, full of trees, you know, dates, tamar, and it has a nice well, and next to the Masjid of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, strategic place. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to come out of his house and go and just get some water from it. So everyone's looking forward. And the man says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to apply this ayah. Lentana rubir hatta tunfiqu bima tuhibbu. Ya Rasulullah, this is the most beloved place for me. I want to give it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, does he ask something else? Yes, he has. So it doesn't mean you should give everything. Yeah, but if you can give one of the most valuable things that you have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is a need for that, it's better for you. However, if your family need that one, what is the best thing to do? Keep it for them. Look for another good which is lesser than this and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are still giving from that which you love. You get it, Sheikh Yusuf? You know. Allah grant us good. That's it? Okay, thank you very much. Once again, sorry for keeping you waiting for long. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Inna wa bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.